going to give it one more minute. Let people join. Okay, we're going to get started because we've got a lot to pack in today. Thank you everyone for joining. For those who I haven't met yet, I'm Gary Armand. I'm Communications Manager at the Shell Foundation. And this is the third in the series of webinars we've been running for our portfolio. We've looked at crisis communications, we've looked at remote working culture, and just a reminder, recordings and presentations for those two sessions are available on the SF website if you search presentations in the top toolbar. Today represents a little bit of a step change. The session is going to be led by Jason Goldberg from 10X Entrepreneurs. 10X have supported 70 high growth enterprises to scale over nearly a decade. And we are immensely grateful for Jason for agreeing to share his experience and guidance on four topics over the coming weeks. We're also going to hear from Vikas Bali, CEO of long-term SF partner in Telecap. And Vikas has over 25 years experience in international business, working in all areas. So we're very grateful to have him on the call. Today we're going to be looking at managing liquidity and some scenario planning. And we have upcoming sessions on raising capital, managing investors, leading yourself, leading your team, and then finding your new north. Without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Jason and go on mute. Jason, over to you.
Great. Thank you, Gary. And so great to be on this webinar with you all. Hopefully you'll find it very empowering and practical. I'm going to just skip over some introductory slides, which Gary has already chatted through on, you know, upcoming sessions. I'll just briefly elaborate on who we are. It may be of value just to kind of understand where we come from. So 10X Entrepreneurs is a subsidiary of Edge Growth. Edge Growth has been around for just over a decade, helping small businesses to scale. We have a capital arm that's invested in 70-odd growth businesses, all in South Africa. Are you there, Gary? I've had a little bit of a technology meltdown over here.
Yeah, I can see and hear you okay. The slides aren't moving on though.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just had my screen freeze on me. So I'm just going to close out on the voiceover, hopefully while my screen recovers. So we've invested in 70 growth businesses, 70, all in South Africa. And then 10X Entrepreneur was set up to help companies to scale, to shift from the early stages entrepreneurially led to a scaled management team and, you know, an organization. So that's what we do. And when this crisis hit, we put together a field guide to lead through this crisis based on input from CEOs who've led through crises like this. Just switching technologies out here because I'm having a significant problem with Zoom. Can you believe it?
Jason, anything we can do to help at our end? Nabisa, have we lost Jason?
It doesn't seem that way.
His laptop has just crashed and he'll rejoin in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Once he's up again. Apologies for this.
Okay.
So everyone can have a quick coffee break if they didn't get coffee before joining the webinar.
I feel like we need some lift holding music while we're elevator holding music while we're waiting.
Do you sing, Gary?
Do I sing?
need Cliff Richard like Wimbledon.
Yeah.
But entertaining the crowd.
The only songs that get sung in my house at the moment are from the Frozen and Frozen 2. So if you want a rendition of Let It Go, then we haven't got going in a couple more minutes, and we might be forced to.
Do you by any chance have girls?
No, it's all me.
There's a suggestion from Sam Parker, if you want to maybe address it, Gary.
I suppose it's worth saying all of the sessions that we're running today and coming up, so today, looking at liquidity and scenario planning today, and looking at managing capital, raising capital and managing investors, looking at how you lead yourself and your team, they all come from and are part of the leadership guide that 10X has developed. And I think in order to get maximum value out of these sessions, it's worth going on, and Jason will I'm sure introduce this and share the links, but going into the leadership guide, and there's lots of resources and tools that you can access and do actually between sessions, so that when you come to the sessions, in a fortnight and so on, then you can come with really specific challenges and questions that we can start to brainstorm. And we're going to bring today we've got Vikas, we've got a couple of panelists lined up for future sessions that can bring their experience and their view to it. And then obviously we've got the whole portfolio on the call here, so there's a sharing of experience between various people. What I will also do while we've got seconds, I can see Jason's back, is I'll just, the resources from the previous webinars and also for this one will be on the foundation website. It's a closed page, so to find that page, you've got to go into the search toolbar at the top and search for presentations, and you'll see a drop down with COVID-19 materials. Jason, I can see you're back. Hopefully, that's it at the end of technical bugs. Over to you.
Thanks, Gary. Apologies, folks. My system crashed, but we're back on track. So let's switch gear. The context for this call is obviously the economic crisis created by this health pandemic. And so there's a lot we don't know. And a couple of things we do know about our new reality. Obviously, we don't know how long this will last. We don't know what specific changes will be permanent in our industries, in our markets. We do know we have to be leading with clarity and with speed through this time, even though they're uncharted waters and we don't have all the answers. So with all of that in mind, we asked ourselves, what should we be doing to help CEOs do what they need to be doing? And so we pulled together a COVID-19 leadership field guide. I'm going to briefly introduce you to what it is and give you a brief demo. And then what we'll do is we'll dive into some of the content on scenario planning and liquidity management and head into Q&A, where we'll have Vikas join us sharing his experience on your questions. So let's get going. Briefly, what is the field guide? It aims to give you a just-in-time guide. So not a stream of content, a just-in-time guide, a journey that's stepwise, you know, to lead through the different phases of the crisis, and at each step give you practical, concrete tools and answers from veterans who have led through this. And most importantly, what it aims to arm you with as a CEO is a deliverable, focused leadership journey. In other words, as a CEO, my job is to lead the company through this crisis. That means there are a series of decisions we need to align on with our stakeholders, investors, board. And if we turn that into a series of decisions to be made one after the other, that becomes a leadership roadmap. And so we arm you with a leadership roadmap and all the tools needed to get through each of those deliverables as fast as possible. So lastly, this is not a, you know, all frills platform. It's not beautiful. It doesn't contain everything. It's essentials only. It's what seasoned CEOs have said are the absolute essentials for CEOs who are leading through a crisis like this for the first time to have to guide them. So what are the terms? There are none. You can access this field guide completely for free. There are no strings. There's no fine print. We're not collecting your data and selling it. There are no ads. There's no premium version. There are a couple of partners who've partnered to pull this together and to provide it to you. So it's absolutely free and feel free to share it in your networks as well. What does the field guide contain? This one busy slide, it gives you a high level summary. Let me just kind of make it a little bit simpler for you. Firstly, it helps you lead through four distinct phases of the crisis. We're currently in phase two. Most of us are planning and rearranging to survive the storm. And once the storm clears, we'll move into phase three, which is about resetting strategy or re-aiming. And then we'll move into phase four, where we set sail for our new course. So the platform is split into these four phases, of which phase one is passed. Then in those four phases, we focus on helping you lead at three different levels, with the obvious level being, how do you steer your ship through this crisis, your enterprise? And that includes the areas of safety and compliance, liquidity and financials, customers, strategy, legal, HR, etc., all the things you would expect. But as importantly, underneath that, we help you get your team's mindset right, particularly your leadership team, to lead through this crisis. These are traumatic for some people times, very difficult to manage self and my own psychology and emotions when I'm homeschooling and figuring out what I'm going to do with, you know, the various dependents I now have because they've lost jobs and so forth. And in that context, I'm having to also help you lead your company. So there's a bunch of tools to help your team. And then, of course, many of us are in the same position. We've got a lot of new pressures and difficulties to manage. And in that context, we're going to lead our companies through one of the most difficult times we've had to lead through. And so there's content on how to lead yourself through the crisis. And so that's a summary of what the platform contains. Most importantly, it's all summarized in this single, simple one page, a leadership plan. And so we encourage you all to develop, you know, if you haven't already, your leadership plan to lead through this crisis, your sequential set of milestones that you align on with your board and your investors. You know, and probably for just about all of you, phase one has come and gone, which is where you immediately kind of react to what's hitting us. We're probably almost all in phase two, and probably many of us are still actually kind of making sure that we're going to be liquid through this crisis, and to some degree working on our scenario plans. And so we'll cover those topics today, liquidity management and scenario planning. But there's a bunch that lies underneath all of those things, you know, leading self and team, communication and messaging, and so on and so forth. And so this is a single summary page, mapping out a leadership journey for you. And underneath this is a whole bunch of very powerful practical tools for you to get all these things done. Let's talk about that a little bit more, the practical tools. So every section, every module you go through, like, for example, how to communicate with your external world through this crisis, or how to manage letting people go and how to communicate that. You know, we'll help you understand why that's hard. We'll give you instructional videos on exactly how to do it. We'll give you downloadable tools. And I'd say that's the great strength of this platform. It's got a lot of very practical tools that you can download and start using immediately. No strings, partially populated for you already. It'll really give you speed. It'll help you and your team lead through this crisis with much more confidence, professionalism, and speed. And then, in addition, suggested action plans. Okay, so here's what you need to do and why. Here are the tools, and here's a suggested plan. Here's what to do in what order, who to delegate it to, how long to take. And of course, it's all on a take it or leave it basis. But it's really great for you to be able to start with a version one plan and just refine that for your context. And so hopefully what you're seeing is this toolkit aims to give you a running start in every kind of area, every kind of big decision or deliverable that you need to work through. You get kind of suggestions on what to do, why, and how, tools, and a version one plan. And so hopefully that gives you a running start. I'm going to quickly bring up the field guide because this will give you just a visual of what I'm talking about. The login will take you 10 seconds the first time around. We're not capturing all your data and selling it. So it's really simple. And then once you've logged in, basically, the content is split into phases. And so, you know, we're currently in phase two, respond. So if I just click on that, it will open up with all the different modules that are relevant in this phase two of the crisis. And you'll see all of the content there very easily accessible. So, for example, today we're covering the module.
We can't see the field guide on the screen.
I'm sharing the wrong thing. Let me switch my screen. Thank you, Noobs. There we go. So apologies. Let me just click back for a moment. So when you click on the field guide link, I'm logged in somewhere else. You'll then just have to create an account. It will take you 5 or 10 seconds. Once you've created that account, there's only one thing to go to, which is the field guide. And the field guide, in the most simple kind of navigation, is split into four phases of the crisis. And most of this crisis you'll spend in phase two and phase three. So if I click on phase two, the content is just broken down by topic, like how you manage investors and raise funds in a crisis, which is the topic we'll cover next week, how to plan internal communication if you're restructuring roles and organization, how to pivot your business model in the middle of a crisis, how to manage return to work if that's a thing for you, and how to manage sales, marketing, and customers in crisis, for example. And today we're covering assessing liquidity and planning scenarios. And you'll see with each of these, there's a bunch of relevant video-based instructional content, which starts with setting the scene and then moves on to the actual video content, which is, you know, much like standard online support programs you'll have seen. Click the video, it plays. And then after that, very importantly, you know, we give you suggested how to implement this. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And each of those, you just click on and it provides you more detailed guidance, including suggested timeframes, who to delegate this to, etc. And then a single page to download all of the downloadable resources, again, for free. Again, you know, just start using it right away. You can download it as I've just done. I've clicked on, that link. And what I will now show you is just that opens up as a tool, which you can immediately start using. So here, for example, is that tool. It's just a detailed version one action plan, which you can start using pretty much immediately. And all these other tools are like that. Download them, use them independently of the platform. We're not tracking your data. There's no feedback loop to the platform. You just start using it and use it the way that you feel is most valuable for using yourself and your team. So with that in mind, that's a demo on what the field guide contains. And what we're now going to do is we're going to shift gear and we're going to take a look at the topic that we've prioritized for today, which is how to lead through liquidity and scenario planning. And in order to just get that started, I would like to do a very brief poll and just help you understand where you and your peers are relative to each other. Lobisa, just checking, I'm not currently, I may not be the host because I can't see the poll functionality right now, Lobisa.
Would you like me to launch poll number one?
Yeah, could you do that, please? And then also just make me host.
No problem.
Thank you, folks. So if you wouldn't mind just taking 15 seconds to indicate how mature is your COVID-19 leadership plan right now. This will help you benchmark yourself against your peers on this call. It's single select, so pick where you're at in terms of how you're leading your organization through the crisis. Are you A, in survival mode? There's lots of action, but frankly, there's no structured plan yet. Or option B, are you kind of managing minimalistically? You're thinking one or two steps ahead because that's all you have time for. Do you have a rough plan? You've got many of these elements of leadership plan, simple leadership plan I showed earlier, but there are one or two gaps and there aren't many clear timeframes. Do you have a solid plan, and or is it solid and advanced? You've got a clear plan and you've kind of made a lot of progress against that plan. So we're going to give you another 10 seconds just to close out this poll, and then I'll share the results and you can see how this group is progressing as we lead through this crisis and how you, I guess, stand relative to your peers. So closing out in 3. And closing now. Okay, so it seems the majority on this call already have got a solid plan with all the key elements listed on that one page that I shared and clear timelines and currently tackling the first few milestones. That's the biggest group. The next biggest group have a rough plan, but there are some gaps and not many clear timeframes. And the next biggest group is minimal, only thinking one or two steps ahead right now. Thank you, Nobisa, for launching that poll for me. So let's quickly do poll 2. Which of the milestones have you already completed? This will be useful just to help you understand relative to peers how much progress you've made. So this is multi-select. If you wouldn't mind just ticking each of the milestones you have already done, and then we'll share results and we'll get a sense of how you know, this group is faring leading through this crisis at this point in time. Going to give it another 15 seconds. This one takes slightly longer to respond to. Okay, I'm going to close it out in 3 seconds. All right, and now sharing the results. So it looks really good in terms of the progress this group is making. The majority, by far, 5 out of 6 have got a business continuity plan. 2/3 established a task team with a mandate to lead through the crisis. Just over 2/3 had a communication plan already in place. Just under half a leadership plan with milestones and dates. 80% already done with revenue scenarios, 70% have cost-cutting targets and plans in place, and that's the point at which is a steep fall-off. Not many with functional plans supporting those cost-cutting targets and revenue scenarios. Not many have raised capital, and obviously phase 3 still lies ahead, although 15% of this group already has identified the new future and positioning of business in that future and a revised offering and business model. So hopefully you found that useful to understand where you're at relative to peers and how this group is faring leading through the crisis. And that's actually really good progress. So with that in mind, it seems like over 2/3 of this group have already developed revenue scenarios and cost-cutting targets. And with those being the main topic of today, what I'm not going to do is go into detail on that content. I'm going to point out what's in the field guide. And then what I'm going to do is open up for Q&A so that because you have already done that and the rest of you are probably in the progress, in the process, you can get most value out of the session by asking the questions you have about things you're finding difficult leading your business through scenarios. You can ask that of Vikas and myself, and we'll spend the last half of this call on Q&A. So very briefly to orient you, obviously the scenario planning and liquidity management content is part of phase two. Within phase two, there are multiple milestones, and those are the first milestones we suggest you cover. Assess liquidity, develop scenario plans, develop your cost-cutting plans to improve cash flow and runway. And within those, there are multiple underlying steps, of which the first is develop revenue scenarios, then viable cost-cutting plans, then a cost-cutting plan per scenario, which is more detailed. These are the things we'll do. And then on an ongoing basis, monitor how the world is changing and pivot plans as necessary. So that's high-level contextualizing you as to where scenario planning and cost-cutting sits within a journey. What you'll find in the Leadership Field Guide is video instructionals and tools to help you firstly identify the right revenue scenarios, bearing in mind your macro context, your industry context, and those feeding into your revenue scenarios. And then to iterate on cost-cutting targets to give you sufficient runway in each of your revenue scenarios. Finally, to translate those scenarios into a set of flags to watch, things that will happen in your external environment, which will tell you, are we in scenario A or B or C, like are customers buying or not? Are customers paying or not? Are we allowed to trade or not? Is our supply chain disrupted or not? And those flags then, you know, monitored, help you decide which scenario we're actually in and therefore to pivot plans. Ultimately, the goal of scenario planning in a crisis like this is to help you as leaders lead with speed and clarity. Speed might be the difference between you surviving and not. And how do you lead with speed when everything is uncertain? How do you make decisions with conviction and align your team when everything is uncertain? And the tool of scenario planning aims to answer that question. It helps you think about in advance, if this is the world we live in, what would we do? And if this is the world we live in, what would we do? And having thought about that in advance, when it turns out we're now in this world, you know, world which is scenario C, you've already developed a reasonably good plan for that scenario and you can start executing on that really fast. That's the job that scenario planning does in a highly uncertain environment. Now, I want to point out one or two things. In phase one React, we introduced 10 cardinal principles to lead throughout the crisis. And those are summarized here on this page. And these come as curated points of guidance from seasoned CEOs who've led through crises like this. So we packaged their best advice, synthesized it, and summarized it as these 10 key points. I want to point out three of them that are related. Firstly, survival of the fastest, and relatedly, lead from the front as a CEO and cut deep and fast, but bring your people along. These can all go together under a single principle, which is really move fast, because if you wait until it's too late, until the writing is on the wall, almost always if you try and cut costs and take drastic actions by the time it's obvious that there's no other choice, most often that leads to a death spiral. It's just too little, too late, and ultimately the company just spirals out of control and has to be liquidated. It's the companies that act fast, buy themselves runway, that ultimately have the highest chance of making it out of the crisis. And so I just want to point out this principle of speed behind scenario planning and taking, you know, dramatic actions early, not too early, not too drastic, but dramatic action early on to buy yourself runway and the room to survive through this crisis and bounce back on the other side. So with that in mind, I want to do a brief poll, specifically on scenario planning. From the previous one, previous poll, it seemed like most of you are done with that, but I just want to double click and dig one level down and ask how far specifically are you with scenario planning now that we break it out into, you know, a couple more options. So some of you might have just heard of it. Some of you are busy researching your scenarios. Some of you have defined your scenarios. For some of you, it's scenarios and triggers already defined and in place. And for others, it's all done and you're actively monitoring those flags. Let's take another 15 seconds to answer this poll. It's a really short poll, just specifically on scenario planning. Where are we at as a group? Going to give it another 5 seconds and close out. All right, closing now and sharing. So interestingly, the largest group, one third, are busy researching scenarios, which is not surprising. By the way, most CEOs say, and we've, you know, in the surveys we've run, most CEOs are saying that their environment is changing weekly and monthly. And that means they're needing to revisit their scenarios, you know, at least on a monthly cycle. And, you know, there's so much that's uncertain that there's still a lot they have to learn to inform what their revenue scenarios are. So that's the biggest group and not surprising. The next biggest group, scenarios are defined. And then the next biggest group is just heard about scenario planning now, so haven't done it yet. So thank you for sharing those results. Hopefully you're finding it again useful to understand where you are relative to peers. Now let's get into some of the really hard things about scenario planning. Poll five, I want to ask the question, what runway length, cash flow runway, have you planned for in your scenario planning? One of the key, let's say, parameters of scenario planning is how much cash flow runway do you use as the target against which you develop plans? And so a lot of venture capitalists recommend, because of the uncertainty and difficulty raising cash, that you try for at least 18 to 24 months of cash flow runway. We've not seen many small businesses on the continent able to do that. Most are, you know, at best 3 months, and the next biggest group, 3 to 6 months. So let's see where this group is landing, and I'll give it another 5 seconds to close out this poll and then share results. Okay, so sharing results now. Actually, this group comes out pretty well compared to other African small business groups that we've polled. The biggest group, that's half, have got between 6 and 12 months of runway planned in scenarios. And that actually is the most healthy group that we've polled so far. Normally, the biggest group comes out at 3 to 6 months. And, you know, very few businesses come out at more than 6 months. You've got another decent size group in the 12 to 24 months. So almost two thirds, 6 to 24 months. That's really good. And then the next biggest group is 3 to 6 months. That's dicey. It's risky under times like this, but sometimes that's the best, you know, that a business is able to manage under the circumstances. Okay. So with that in mind, I'm going to just cover a few last things that you should be aware of in the field guide, and then we'll switch to Q&A. So you should be aware there is some really useful guidance on how to cut costs, how to distinguish your costs between what we call fat, muscle, and bone. You know, cutting bone, it permanently disables your business. Cutting muscle, you know, is prolonged disablement, but you can rehabilitate from it. Cutting fat is almost no lasting impact. It's painful, but it's not detrimental to the long-term performance of the business. So distinguish between those three, you know, and then we provide you with some useful Excel tools to do the maths very fast on how much of what you need to cut to be able to achieve your cost-cutting targets, and ultimately to iterate through different cost-cutting plans to achieve your cost-cutting targets that you know, in a given scenario gives you the required runway. So those tools and that content is all in the field guide. And then the next thing that's there is how to tackle cutting payroll. By far the biggest leadership source of stress CEOs have in all the surveys we've run is the need to cut payroll and the psychological and emotional stress that brings for the affected people and as a result for the leaders. And so again, we give a bunch of useful content on how to approach specifically payroll cutting, and again, kind of experience from CEOs. So we're not going to do this poll. I wanted to just highlight the content that is there that will be very useful to you, and then move into Q&A. And at this point, ask Vickers if you don't mind sharing your video and unmuting. And we're going to get going with questions and answers. So please, at this point, do share the hardest things that you'd love input on from Vickers and myself. We're going to use the Q&A functionality. You'll see on your menu bar that there's a Q&A button. Click on that button and just type out your questions there. We will cover them sequentially in the order in which they're posted. But just to get us going, to break the ice, if I could ask you just to do poll number 8. Poll number 8 suggests 8 questions that we could talk through. And I'd like you to vote for your top 3. And then we will start with the most popular one. And then we'll revert to the questions you type out in the chat box, in the Q&A chat box, once those start appearing. So just briefly, vote for your top 3 questions over here, multi-select, and then Vickers and I will get going, chatting through just experience shares on those most voted, most popular items. Going to give it another 30 seconds just to vote for most popular items. Okay, great. Closing out in 5. All right, and posting results. So the most popular question is, which cost should we cut first and which should we avoid cutting or cut last? So 2/3 of you voted for that one. So we're going to get going with that. And Vickers, I'd like to ask you to share your thoughts on that question first. Which costs should we cut first, and then which we avoid cutting or cut last? And then I'll chip in on the back end.
Sure, thanks for that. Am I audible?
You're audible, your video is frozen, but your voice is coming through clearly, which is more important.
All right, great, thanks. This is a very, very important question. Every change brings itself a lot of discontinuity. And in that process, it also provides an opportunity to rethink businesses. And I think one should not just react to what the stimulus is from the environment, but respond to it from a longer term perspective. Every challenge should be used to restructure the business in a way that it adds significant value from a long term perspective. So do not look for the easiest cost to cut. Most people will look at the P&L and look at where are 80% of the costs and start hitting them. And that's something which is useful to do. But what is more important is to look at the long-term cost structures, long-term things that are driving costs. So typically in most businesses, the costs are built in the design stage itself. Whatever products and services you are developing, they are built in the design stage itself. And that's something that if the challenge is giving you an opportunity to reassess, I would certainly urge all of you to think about your product designs and reassess the costs ab initio. Also, when you're looking to cut costs, don't look at incremental cost reduction of 5% here or 7% there. In times like this, this is the opportunity to use much more drastic methods and look for step changes, because it's only businesses who really rethink out of the box and go for dramatic cost reductions and look to use technology to disrupt their business models completely will end up coming out higher. There's always one dilemma in entire cost reduction exercise, which is, what do I do about tomorrow's costs and tomorrow's products? And should I reduce the amount of investments that one is making for not just today's products, but for tomorrow's portfolios, tomorrow's product life cycles? And that's something which is really predicated on your cash flows. As this poll suggests, a lot of you have already got a visibility of looking at 2 years cash flow, 6 to 24 months is the answer that came. If you have that long a visibility about your cash flows, then I would certainly urge those businesses to continue to make those small investments in creating your products for future. So always carry a 1, 3, 5 year immediate cash flow sustainers, 3 year revenue builders, 5 year value creators, and do find the that little bit of an investment to look at revenue builders from a 3 year and value creators from a 5 year perspective. Happy to get into a more detailed conversation around these broad themes that I have placed before you.
Yeah, thanks, Vikas. Some really useful principles there. I'll just add 2 or 3. If you go through the 10 cardinal rules for leading through this crisis, which you'll find in the phase 1 React section of the field guide, and that's again synthesized from CEOs. Kind of a very common theme that came out is first survive, right? So you don't get the option on future opportunities and revenues if you don't survive. And different, CEOs on this call, you're in different places relative to survival. Some of you, survival's not in question. You're positively impacted or borderline or, a little bit adverse, but you're going to make it out this quite comfortably. You think about survival very differently from companies that have lost 70 or 90% of revenue overnight, and some 100%. And so first principle is survive and cut as deep as you have to survive. And then once survival is no longer a real question, at that point, you can start applying, kind of a more intelligent, lens. You're higher up on Maslow's hierarchy. You can apply a more intelligent lens And I would say, be aware that spend you've taken on, investment you've taken on 4 months ago, probably a lot of that you would not have done now. So for example, maybe a bunch of things you decided to do in January before it all started hitting the fan was experimental. We want to learn about this or that. And, frankly, it's nice to have. Obviously, cut the nice to have stuff, unless it's essential to positioning yourself well on the other side of the crisis. Secondly, a lot of cost that many small businesses have accumulated over years is actually, a team we employed 5 years ago, and 3 or 5 of those people we definitely need, and 2 or 5, it's borderline, but there weren't drastic enough circumstances 4 months ago to make hard decisions on letting go folks whose value to the organization in a crisis like this is borderline. And now you no longer have that luxury of carrying borderline costs. You have to take a scalpel to those costs. So I would split the cost that you have into a group that you've got no regret about carrying in a crisis like this, and those which you would not have taken on, investments you'd not have taken on, costs you would not have taken on, if you'd have known we're going to be in a survival rapid growth movie. And that may help you distinguish between costs as opposed to, as Vikas said, go through the P&L and look at line items on the P&L, which often actually is very misleading. It doesn't help you think about what the business needs to do the 2 jobs that have to be done. And that is first survive, and on the other side, thrive. So that's, I guess, what I would build. Vikas, that stimulate anything else that you'd like to just kind of add on the back end before we go to the next question?
Sure, thanks for that. The one thing that I would certainly encourage all businesses to do is to look at their cash to cash cycle. When is it that they place the order for their materials, and when are they booking the expenses, and when they are able to actually collect? And if I look at business after business, most businesses have a 90, 180 days cash to cash cycle, some even more. Getting much leaner on these parts of the business, lowering your inventory, getting your turns going much faster is a great way to unlock working capital, which is typically a very, very significant drag on a lot of businesses. So do reflect on your cash to cash cycle and trim it down as much as you can.
Yeah. Good. And one last very specific point. You know, the question does ask both which should we cut first and which should we cut last. You know, I'd say a useful lens I found is if you assess costs on their impact on keeping your most important customers and your most important staff. Those are the ones I'd prioritize cut last. You know, both survival and thriving on the other side will depend on your most important customers and your most important staff. And the earlier stage your organization is, the more true that is. So that's the last point I'd, you know, share, and then we can move to the next question. Just quick note that there aren't qualitative questions typed in the Q&A box yet. So we're going to keep going with these pre-configured questions. But if additional questions come up for you, please do type those out in the Q&A box. So the next question was, what are the three sensible cash flow scenarios, good, bad, and ugly, i.e. how conservative should assumptions be? And that to some degree does speak to the, you know, the runway question. How much runway should we be buying ourselves on the one hand, but then on the other hand, revenue? How much impact, adverse impact, should we be assuming on the top line? Vikas, your thoughts?
Sure. So all businesses need to work on three plans, which is a conservative, realistic, and aggressive plans at all points in time. And when I use the word plans, I'm also including cash flows, as that's the most crucial thing. It's just not the revenues and the costs, but the cash flows of any business that become extremely key. So certainly look at three scenarios, and typically based on my past experience, the difference between each of these scenarios is somewhere in the range of 15 to 20%. So best case scenario will be 15-20% higher than the realistic scenario, and the worst case would be 15-20% behind that. But we are in an extraordinary situation right now, where a lot of businesses have got revenues, revenue visibility as very, very limited. So I would suggest that certainly you need to up these numbers from a sensitivity standpoint to understand how long your business is going to be able to survive. My suggestion here would be look at fixed costs very, very threadbare, and work out what is the minimum cost that you need to incur in order to keep your business running. So do some very, very aggressive zero-based budgeting, and work out the worst case plan for yourself. And if things turn out much better on the revenue side, then so be it. But work off a worst case plan, which says, here are my bare minimum fixed costs that I need to spend in order to keep the business going. Here, I also wanted to add one more point, which is look to use the opportunity to move to an asset light business model. So wherever you have fixed costs, try and variabilize them to whatever extent possible. So for example, a lot of you know that in the real estate and retail space, a lot of the landlords are saying, okay, we'll take a percentage of your sales rather than do a fixed rental per month. So there's a lot of opportunity to try and pivot your business models towards more asset light. This is a great opportunity. Please leverage that as you think about your long-term survival of your business, because that's going to be absolutely critical.
Agreed. I would, you know, just add to that, that, you know, the conservative scenario on the downside, I can't possibly overstate the importance of that zero-based exercise to get a clear picture of what's the minimum we need to keep this organization operating, because there is a possibility it will come down to that. And you don't want to get into that position as a business, be, you know, filled with all the kind of the worry, anxiety, and et cetera around that. And now you need to think clearly about what costs to cut. You know, you want to ideally have used the better headspace, hopefully, that you've got right now to think through what's called a zero-based organization. And there are tools and templates for that in the Leadership Field Guide. I would add that, you know, Vic has mentioned, you know, minimize your cost base, minimize your asset base. And you should be aware your customers are going to be thinking that way as well. So, you know, if you serve large corporate entities, they're going to be going through this process, you know, large behemoths and slow though they are, they'll be going through this process of figuring out what costs to cut. And that'll take a couple of weeks or months to work through the system to give absolute clarity on what that means for your revenues. If you serve the consumer market, will take time for it to be clear to them, you know, what their new reality is, if they have a job, if they don't, what their income is, you know, what their costs have become, how many dependents they have, and therefore how important is your product or service to the, you know, the ongoing operations of your corporate clients, if you're in the kind of B2 enterprise space, or, you know, how important is it, how close to the top of the pecking order of your consumer customers or small business customers? You should have a realistic view about that, because what we've seen happening is unhelpful optimism in the revenue scenarios for a lot of small businesses, because particularly in the business to enterprise and business to consumer space, go speak to your corporate, you know, client, and they say, no changes to our budget on this line item for now. Oh, that sounds good. When do you plan to order next? Oh, we plan to order next month. But then next month come back, we still plan to order, but, you know, we've got to get some new executive authorizations, and so we'll order next month. Go back next month, oh, budget has been cut. Budget's been cut by 20%, you know, so the order will come through next week. Next week comes, okay, we'd like to place the order, but we need to change our payment terms. There's a new executive order, and slowly but surely the news gets worse and worse and worse week after week, because, you know, particularly in the enterprise space, it takes a long time for those organizations to work through the whole system on the changes they're making to support their own, you know, sustainability. And the early news very often is the most positive news. And so that's why I'm very kind of strong in my suggestion that you really take a very conservative case to your low case scenario, almost regardless of what news you're getting from your customer base, because that things are changing so fast that news might change. And in a crisis like this, most often that those changes are negative, not positive. Your business may be an exception. And in our surveys so far, 10% of businesses are positively impacted, but 90% are adversely impacted on the top line and the bottom line. And so, you know, my advice is be very conservative in your conservative scenario, but it's just one of three scenarios. You don't need to act on that scenario until the flags indicate that that is the scenario that you're in. All right, so those are my thoughts. Vickers, anything else to add on that question?
No, I think you've covered it extremely well, Jason.
Okay, great. The third question voted for was, when cutting costs, how do I balance short-term resilience with the ability to recover post-COVID? So R&D, marketing, etc. Investments which pay off in the long term, but actually, you know, don't deliver cash flow right now. How do I think about those?
Yeah, that's a very, very cool question. You can't tighten your belt to choke yourself. And this is where I mentioned in the beginning as well, tomorrow's life cycle, tomorrow's products are also extremely important. One has to visit the entire opportunity that the challenge presents with who are you going to be your long-term customers. You need to rethink your product value proposition, and you need to rethink your customer base. And if you come to the answer that my current customer base is not the one that's likely to make me successful going forward, then I suggest not inculcate new base to continue to making those small investments that you can take out from your existing cash flows for future needs, be it these modifications, be it converting from a product business model to a services business model, whatever the pivots that you may need to make using digital technologies or whatever else to service the customer for the future, certainly take out the money that you could. A lot of businesses have discretionary risk, it's possible to take out some of and divert some of those discretionary spends into creating change for the future. So I would strongly urge us not to lose sight of the fact that there will be a tomorrow, and that businesses need to think about the tomorrow while we solve the problems for the here and now.
Agreed, Vikas. Thank you. And you know, I guess what might be helpful for you is to identify in each scenario. To what extent are we facing existential risk? You know, to what extent in scenario A, if we lose that amount of revenue in scenario A, to what extent are we fighting for survival versus actually have some room to go on the offensive? And the answer might be different in different scenarios. You might have a very conservative scenario where, frankly, it's every hand on deck just surviving. But if you characterize that scenario such that it will lead almost intuitively to the right answer on how much of your resource should go into survive, the job of surviving versus the job of investing and thriving on the other side of the crisis. And but even if you're surviving, you know, there's survival through defense and survival through offense. You know, if your current product line, you know, market segments remain relevant, if you can trade, produce, trade, sell, against your historical business model, you know, then maybe you can be, you know, entirely offensive to survive. But if frankly the problem is you can't trade on your historical business model, then maybe you have no choice but to, you know, for the sake of survival, invest in offense, invest in new offering and maybe even new customer segments just to generate revenue, to generate cash, to survive. But I'd say the starting point is characterizing the scenario and whether you are in the movie of all hands on deck to survive or, you know, most energies to survive, but let's also have a little bit of an offensive game because there are also going to be opportunities on the other side of this. Or on the other hand, you know, it's 80% offensive. Great opportunities. We've got lots of cash, you know, and we're well positioned, but we need to move fast and land those opportunities before anyone else does. Characterize your scenario and, you know, answer this question accordingly. If you're mostly in the survival movie, personally, I would not be spending on, you know, kind of what happens after the crisis has passed, because I might not make it there if I spend that money now. So it's business by business, case by case, depending on how bad the existential risk is, kind of my view. All right.
Jason, if I can add just, time, I think, just another point. Yeah, yes. I just wanted to add one more point, that all of this is predicated on actually the organization's commitment to change. And typically, in events of this nature, you typically have a preparatory phase, an acceptance phase, and a commitment phase. The preparation phase is when everybody starts seeing that, okay, there is something which needs to be done drastically. And then people start accepting that, yes, change is inevitable. And eventually they get into a commitment phase. So depending on how the organization culture is and what are the people thinking about, you could adopt some of these thoughts that you have shared and that I have shared, which is to focus on the here and now or focus on the tomorrow. If your organization is still in the preparation phase and is coming to terms and grips with whatever is happening external world and are in some ways shell-shocked about the disruption, then it's best to just make sure that you focus on the here and now. But if the organization has come to grips and has developed the plans, as is evident in the responses that we have seen today, and if the organization leadership is committed to make the transition happen, then maybe it may be more feasible to look at deploying the scarce resources that we may have into tomorrow's products and tomorrow's customers as well. But back to you, Jason.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Vikas. Nick, if you have that question, please feel free to type it in the chat box. It's time, folks, for us to close out. So let me just offer Gary, if any of the delegates would like to spend more time chatting through some of the other questions, happy to schedule a follow-up. I know it's 2 weeks until your next formal session. So, you know, just on a on-demand basis, if people would like earlier than that, a more informal session, just to chat through any questions about, you know, these topics, would be happy to do that. So I'll leave that in your hands, Gary. And folks, please feel free to reach out to Gary and indicate if that would be useful. I guess last thing I'll just point to is make sure that you've got the link. to the field guide. If you'd like to take a look at that, if you find some of this content, and particularly if you want the tools, just find them in the field guide. Again, it's free. There are no tricks. There are no terms. And it's as simple as clicking the link and then creating an account. And then lastly, just to point out what comes next, Gary, we've got 3 more sessions lined up, staggered 2 weeks apart. And the next session is in 2 weeks' time. And the topic for that one continues in the financial vein. And it's really about how do you manage investors and how do you raise capital in times like this? What changes under COVID-19? How should you manage investors differently, if at all? How should you raise capital differently at all, both on the equity side and the debt side? And so we'll, again, we've got the content on that is in the field guide. What we're going to do differently for the next session is we're going to ask you to go through that content in advance of the session, and we'll send out an email memo with more specific instructions so that we can have much more rich conversation in the Q&A section, because you'll have had the opportunity to go through tools and you can ask much more kind of incisive questions in terms of how you're trying to apply those things into your business. So I guess, you know, at that point we've run out of time. Nick, thank you for your question. I've seen you've posted it, but I want to respect the time of, you know, everybody that's on this call, and suggest, Gary, that perhaps you close us out from here. And you know, and then we'll close off the call.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, and thank you, Vikas. Just to really reinforce one message quickly, because I know we're out of time. This leadership guide has been developed for high growth CEOs by high growth CEOs, and so I just encourage everyone on the call to access a guide and work through those areas in which you're facing challenges. There were some encouraging poll results there. And just quickly say thank you again. Yeah. And I will put this follow-up email with some of the pre-read material for the next session. And then we'll have a little think about how we can answer any outstanding questions from this one. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody. Yep. Have a wonderful weekend. Vikas, thank you so much for your contribution.
Thank you, everybody. It was my pleasure. Thanks. Bye.